Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, here on Joe, together with our friends at Guinness. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Baz.
What's the crack?
I'm great, yeah. Last week you kind of caught me on the hop a little bit, so I've done a little bit of research.
Go on.
You're the peanut butter to my jam.
Oh, I love peanut butter and jam.
Yeah, hold on.
Peanut butter and jam.
Whoa.
Right.
I'm not done.
Okay.
You're the Simon to my Garfunkel.
Oh.
No?
Yeah, I love Paul Simon, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Delighted with that.
You're the Chewbacca to my Han Solo.
Oh, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're the Butch Cassidy to my Sun Gans. Oh, balls.
Sun Gans.
I'm never going to be allowed to do this again, am I?
No, you're nailing it, man.
It's over.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
I immediately just thought of Sutton and Shearer. Do you remember Sutton and Shearer?
Oh, yeah.
For Blackburn Rovers.
And Norwich.
SOS. And Norwich, SOS, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Very good, yeah.
There you go.
We're off to a flyer.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
I'll take
Stay tuned, folks. More of the same.
I was watching Die Hard the other night, and I loved their bond that they had. Die Hard, what's his name? John McClane and the cop that he's on the phone to.
Mm-hmm.
They were so, you know, close by the end of it. They have that moment on the phone when they're talking, and he's like, "Man, I shot a kid." He's like, "Man, I'm sorry." And there's such a, you know, a unique bond.
Yeah, they're pouring their hearts out to each other.
Yeah. So I was quite disappointed in how bad Die Hard was. Actually, I think people are probably going to lose their mind over that now, but. It's not. It doesn't stand up to the test of time.
I haven't had that experience. Maybe because I haven't watched it recently. But that happens quite a bit with like childhood movies. Like I think The Goonies is a good example of that.
No way.
Yeah.
You don't think it stands up to the test of time?
No. I watched it back. And I'm like, what? What was I thinking? This is terrible.
What part of it?
But I loved it at the time.
Yeah. I thought Goonies would always stand.
No, it's done.
Yeah, I found Die Hard and McClane was just... Bruce Willis was trying too hard to establish his character.
Yeah.
You know, he was just...
He's dying too hard.
Yeah. Exactly.
But not as hard as he was in the second one, because he was dying harder.
He was. Yeah. That wasn't the name of it, though.
But I know. I think it was. No. I think it was Die Hard 2.
It was
Die Harder.
No, it's just Die Hard 2. That's completely wrong. Spoof.
Yeah.
We'll look this up.
Okay.
Or get your responses in on Twitter.
Yeah, tweet in.
So anyway, rugby. 4 wins from our 4 Irish provinces this weekend. JJ,
the 4 proud provinces of Ireland.
Shoulder to shoulder. JJ Hanrahan, the hero for Munster. Will Addison at it again for Ulster. And the merits of floating a 3-man skip pass with Jordan Larmour lurking was probably one of the biggest upsets of the weekend, from Bat's point of view anyway. But I think we'll start with Ulster. You put out on Twitter that you'd like to kind of focus on how positive they're... Did you put that on Twitter or did you just text me that? I can't remember.
Oh, I think I text you that I would like to talk about Ulster.
Okay.
Because we haven't... It's typically Leinster, Munster, and then... Ulster is an afterthought and rarely even call it.
Yeah, so we're going to start with Ulster, man.
We're going to talk about Ulster.
You have your moment. You were at the game, you were working for it.
Yeah, and so the contrast in my experience, or the experience of the Ulster team with supporters, was just massive from 2 weeks ago when they played them in the league, missing a lot of internationals, bring the boys back, and it was a massive performance. Massive. And it was...
You were so negative going into this game as well.
You
didn't think they were going to win. And you thought it would be a horrible experience.
Yeah, I think based on... I don't know how many times Ulster have lost in a row over there.
6 years it's been since they've won.
6 years.
Yeah.
So Scarlets never win in Belfast and Ulster never win in Clonesley. And I think maybe just because I've been doing a little bit more punditry and a little bit more kind of research, and you get notes for every game, and we're more or less told... This is a banker for the home team. And then my experience of a couple of weeks ago was just miserable, freezing cold, wet, bleak night in the middle of the week. It was just awful.
Was it the same the other night?
It wasn't. It was totally different. And it was just a brilliant performance. And you had a bit of everything from Ulster, like tries off first phase, green zone tries where they're just being really, really direct, being really physical. And then incredible defence at the end, just a lot of character shown. Jarrod Payne needs to get a lot of credit, I think, for the type of defence he's putting in and the energy from the boys. It was a little bit of an Andy Farrell kind of defence. Mm-hmm. Just, you could see there was a lot of energy, a lot of buzz. Boys were getting up. It looked like they were enjoying. They were kind of feeding off each other. And then they got across the line. It was brilliant.
And as you were saying, yeah, scoring tries from their own half. That Stockdale try was pretty special, wasn't it?
Yeah, first phase, it was a little bit of an Ireland play. Just kind of come out the back of McCloskey with Henry Spate, just showing enough to interest John Davis. John Davis just got a little bit narrow. I think he just maybe, it's not like him. He usually comes up and makes really good reads. He's really switched on. He just got slightly too narrow. I think maybe Will Addison is benefiting from a lot of people not appreciating how good he is. Because I don't think he respected Cantley. He maybe just got caught out by how much pace he had. Mm. Just a little bit of a change up. And a nice little bounce pass from Billy Burns. Mm-hmm. And he did the rest from there. He didn't do the rest. He hit Stockdale and Stockdale did the rest. Yeah. He had no right to score that try. No,
some finish.
It was class, wasn't it?
Hand. Like, you could argue that defence was probably poor enough for that tackle that was come across, but like, you know, what a handoff.
Yeah.
What a finisher. He kind of exploded out of the handoff, which is always what you want, something like that, isn't it? Like, to give yourself a little boost off him.
Just looks like, maybe 10 minutes later, Billy Burns again put a lovely little dink in from Ulster 22. Mm-hmm. Ulster's 22. It looked like Scarlets were coming up, pressing quite high in D and taking a lot of chances with that. And they actually nearly got a bit of joy with intercepts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But on this occasion, Billy Burns spotted it, put a little dink in behind. And Jacob would have collected it had he collected it successfully. He did actually, but it was too close to the touchline. I think Patchell put him in the touch. But if he had collected it and kind of had a second just to get his balance back, you're going, he's collecting that ball on his own 10-meter line, he'll probably score.
Yeah.
But that's just when Jacob gets the ball in any space, you just expect him to finish.
Yeah.
He's on fire at the minute.
He is, isn't he? Yeah.
It's
and
ridiculous.
Even the interview did with him last week, he sounds like he's really enjoying his rugby. Mm. Sounds like he's having a good laugh. Mm. He's just a breath of fresh air, really, for Irish rugby, isn't he? Like,
I know, it's refreshing to see someone. Obviously, if you're not enjoying where he is at the minute, I suppose you never will be.
Yeah.
But you're right, it seems like he's just not getting bogged down, especially in a Joe Schmidt environment where be detail, next play, what am I working on? You know, it'd be kind of taking your sport quite seriously. And he seems to do that, but he also has a nice, you know, I'm enjoying beating guys, I'm enjoying scoring tries. Yeah. I'm enjoying this is the sport. I only started playing this sport because I enjoyed it as a kid.
Yeah.
So why do I just keep doing that?
Yeah.
I think a lot of guys have kind of, I think Earlsey's another guy who seems to have recaptured just an enjoyment of the sport in its like purest sense.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sport that's fun to play, and he just looks like he's I don't know, just thriving off that a little bit.
Yeah.
Just getting that balance.
I think Will Addison, after the game, he was interviewed and he spoke about the band of brothers and the buzz that's going on in Ulster at the moment. And for him coming and joining that group of players, it was obvious to him from day one. I think he said that it was something special and that he's really kind of taken to individually the players and and the group. So
we were talking about that with BT, Zara. It's not Easterby, Eglin or Egg something, but I can't remember what her maiden name is. Anyway, she made the point that even though Will Addison was playing for Seal for, I don't know, 5-6 years, 100 games for Seal, captained the team, so like a pretty important role over there and performing week in, week out, there was never once anyone ever suggested he should be in the England setup.
Yeah, how is that? Bizarre.
It's just crazy.
There's a lot of people on Twitter, like Sale people, giving out over the weekend about how did they let him go, how did England let him go.
Yeah. It's Farrell, Lancaster and Will Addison.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brexit.
Yoink.
Yeah. Look, he's. I know we've harped on about him enough over the last few months, but...
I bumped into him last week at Chris Henry's testimonial, and because we've talked about him so much, I was almost a little bit starstruck. And you know, he's a big fan of the show.
Is he?
Yeah. He says,
I will.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I wanted to get a selfie, but I was too embarrassed.
Yeah. Yeah. You played it cool.
I couldn't, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he still thinks I'm cool.
Good.
Yeah. Good. But he's a fan of the show.
Good man.
So hopefully we'll get him on at some stage.
Let's get him on. Let's get him on for a call or get him on the couch. I'd love to have him on. He seems like a nice fella.
I'd like to be friends with him.
Yeah. We'll go for a few pints. Yeah, invite him to our Christmas party.
Long term.
Yeah, we've got to have a Christmas party, by the way. I was only thinking about this on the way up today.
Just you and me, or well, are we inviting Pat?
We could. Yes. Yeah, of course we'll invite Pat. But yeah, anyone wants to come, let us know. I'd love to have Will Addison there.
I'll say to Tana and Rico and the lads.
Yeah. yeah, we should get all our guests or anyone that just should have an open invitation.
Yeah.
Just tell them we're going to go to the Guinness Storehouse or something like that, and just everyone's invited to our Christmas party.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds just like another live show.
Actually, speaking of Christmas, we have a Christmas cracker that I'd like to pull with you, just to kick it off, because it is getting festive. Ah,
Christmas is ruined.
Do you want to wrap up on Ulster?
This is a bit
when you put your crown on. Have we talked enough about them? Have you covered enough?
Yeah, I think they are now in a fairly decent position in the pool. I think if they do a job in Scarlets at home this weekend, then they're flying.
Mm-hmm.
I got to beat Racing at home and then going to Leicester. Potentially, it'd be tough, but
tough three games left.
Tough, but no tougher than Scarlets away if you can do it there.
Yeah,
bonus point as well.
Yep,
I think they're in good shape.
Mm.
A good enough shape for us to continue to talk about them.
Yes, I think they deserve. We'll slot them in somewhere every week. Don't worry. Moving on to Leinster. Did you see this? Did you see what happened with the flags? Did you hear about this?
I heard about the controversy.
Flaggate.
Yeah.
It was one of the funniest things, man, I've seen. The Twitter exploded over these flags at the weekend. Yeah. This is an outrage. Like, I think they brought over 1,200 flags, or was it 1,600 flags for the fans to wave. And Bath just decided no.
Sorry, there's to be no waving. Flags today.
But it might be a fire hazard or something. I was
apparently
thinking
they failed three safety tests and one of them was fire. What were the other two?
I don't know. Like,
suffocation? No breathing. Sorry.
I was thinking of it. It was like, it's like you were, like, if you were Bath, you were maybe sitting at home on Saturday, the equivalent of like you've been out the night before. And you're a bit hungover and you wanted to just have a Saturday to just watch the rugby on the TV and just sit in your couch and pan out. And then your mate rings you and he's like, hey, can I come over and watch the rugby? And you're like, yeah, cool. And he's like, okay, but I've got the kids today, so I'm going to bring all my kids. Is that okay? He's like, how many? He's like, I've got like 1,200 kids. It's like 1,200 kids. No,
they're a fire hazard.
Yeah. It's like, ah, no, why not? Ah, it's a... their fire hazard or something, you know. They just tell them anything, just don't bring the kids. Yeah. So, and then people lose their mind over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but can you imagine being at that game? And I was quite aware of it, being at the Munster match yesterday. Anytime a flag came up, I was like, God, imagine there was 1,200 of these things in your face. Like, so I get behind Bath on that. Quite annoying to have that many flags. I'm not a flag fan, being honest. Are you a flag fan?
Fairly indifferent.
Yeah.
On the whole flag issue.
I've never felt the need to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wave
no, not
a flag.
Me myself.
Yeah.
I suppose whenever you're looking at a stadium, it is quite cool seeing it. Like, it is quite atmospheric.
Yeah, I suppose.
But yeah, no, me personally, I've never thought, oh, I'm just not getting into this.
My flag.
Need a flag.
Yeah, not for me. But, it was irrelevant in the end for Leinster because they got the job done at the Rec. I kind of said it last week that I thought it's going to be a difficult game for them. You were like, nah, going to be a breeze. Gonna
yeah,
be a 5-pointer.
I did. I thought it would be. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You got most of your predictions quite arseways last week, didn't you?
Yeah. That's why I'm here.
But it was a tough game. I enjoyed it because it was, you know, I think the weather conditions have been so good for the last 8 months that there hasn't been a huge amount of rugby played in those kind of dirty, windy, wet conditions,
cold
as well. So it kind of was, for me, it was whoever's going to play the conditions best, we're going to win that game. And that was what Leinster did.
Yeah, whoever throws the least 35-metre long passes will win that game, and that's what happened.
Yeah, it was that was an interesting one because the I meant to ask Pat about this. I was watching it in a pub, so I couldn't hear the commentating, but the crooked line-out, and there was no advantage given afterwards for Bath. What were the commentators saying about that?
Apparently it was a scrum advantage, not a penalty advantage, so they thought they would get called back, but
yeah,
after a few phases or a few passes, it runs out. So.
Right, those are two passes. It was like...
So it went straight from the line-out?
Crooked line-out from Leinster, uh-huh, and Bath through, you know... It was like wildly crooked, like went way off the side of the line. Uh-huh. And Bath threw two passes and Larmer intercepted it and under the post. So it was, I don't know the actual rules on it.
Maybe because I know you can't kick away scrum advantage. Mm. So if you kick it away, then the advantage is over.
Okay, yeah.
I wonder if he thought that pass is long enough to be a kick. No more advantage.
Yeah, it was a scandalous pass, to be honest. But and it changed the game. I think Leinster probably would have won it anyway. They boxed very cleverly. They, you know, kicked well, controlled Bath. Bath were kind of poor. They've got a good pack, but their backs were just not up to the game for me. They were, you know, threw a lot of passes to ground and a lot of knock-ons and so on. But James Ryan again, another just phenomenal performance. Yeah, man of the match
from the Undertaker.
yeah, he's he just looks so ferocious as well. How old is he now? 21, 22.
Yeah,
he's just like, he's got it in his eyes. He's like an animal. I don't know. He's like this. There was no stopping him on Saturday. It was very impressive, and I suppose playing with a guy like that, which I love to just take the field with a guy like that every week.
And it's just, I keep expecting, like, for someone that young, how is it so easy for him?
Mm.
It just seems like he's never known anything different. He's always been part of a winning Leinster team, always been part of a winning Ireland team, and rugby just looks so easy to him.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It's not fair, is it?
No, it's not.
I think, again, getting back to Ulster a little bit, Ian Henderson's probably been looking on saying, what's going on? And we had a big performance from Ian Henderson the weekend.
Yeah, it's true.
A massive performance. And at one stage, it looked like I was certain he'd broken his arm or wrecked his shoulder or something. Must have just been a stinger because he kind of ran it off. But he was just making hit after hit. And I was thinking, there's part of him is probably gone. James Ryan is getting all the attention here. Time to produce a big one. And he did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's just so many lads putting their hands up. Tyke Burns, another one.
Mm.
They're all just playing, and they're all just pushing each other on, like, to enhance their performances more and more and more.
Yeah.
It's really good for everybody involved in it.
Mm. There was an interesting one on Saturday from Luke McGrath, who caught a high ball and kind of ducked down and... when Joe Kakanasiga was Joe Kakanasiga was chasing the kick, and he was going like 100 miles an hour and went to clatter Luke McGrath, but Luke dropped to like below his waist almost, and Joe caught him quite high.
Joe,
we're going to just go Joe for a while. Josie. And it was a penalty. People were calling for a yellow card, red card. Johnny Sexton was kind of having a go off the ref, saying, like, this has to be
Johnny Sexton was having a go at the ref?
Yeah, believe it or not.
He was not.
He was. He was particularly noisy this weekend, I think, Johnny. But yeah, it was a weird one. A lot of people calling for it. I thought it was a good decision. I think it's, you know, when players drop like that...
Yeah.
You, like, what's your take on it? If it's a high tackle, but the player's head is 3 feet off the ground, then...
Well, if the player's head is, like, in around their chest, where you kind of, or even just where you potentially would hit them if they're standing upright, then, and especially if it changes last second.
Yeah, it's a split second
it's
thing.
It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah. Some people responded to me on Twitter saying, like, that you've got it, the defender has to take control and maybe, like, hold up and don't go in so wildly.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Takes it out of it for me. And Luke McGrath was fine. I think he was down a little bit, but he was, he looked like he was okay after 30 seconds. Like, so good decision for me.
Fab decision.
Fab decision, I thought, absolutely. But yeah, great win again for Leinster. I think Bath will still make a fight of it next weekend. You know, that group is... You don't?
No, I don't. I think Leinster will hammer them.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Hammer them. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry
I'm,
to be
I'm
so...
I'm loving your terrible predictions at the moment, so keep them going.
Yeah. If Bath hear this, they're probably thinking there's no chance. Yeah. That guy never gets predictions right.
Yeah, well, look, it's it does... The group is wide open. Leinster do need, you know, they're still up against it. They would want to come out top of that group, I think, you know. So
yeah, every game is still going well.
Yeah, every game is important. Toulouse is still top. Right, but coming up, we have a look at the return fixtures in all those games. We've got some Twitter questions to answer, and we will reveal the Guinness Maid of Moore Player of the Weekend. But next, we'll take a closer look at Munster's win over Cast. And taking us there is a clip from JJ Hanrahan's Man of the Match interview.
They gave you a bit of an arm wrestle today. Are you happy with how you ground out that performance?
Yeah, they definitely did. That first half was one of the toughest I've been involved in, but I think credit to the pack. It's a pleasure to play behind a scrum like that when it's going forward, and they got us out of such tricky situations. And as number 10, no matter who's wearing the shirt in Munster, it all helps in the packs going forward.
Any frustrating letting in that last-minute try?
Yeah, it is frustrating. It is frustrating, definitely. We definitely pride ourselves in our defence, and probably my fault there to hold my hand up, went for the intercept instead of going for a man. But look, we'll go back, we'll look at it. But overall, the defence is pretty good today.
And personally, you were brought in last minute into the starting 15. You scored a try to top of your day. You must be really pleased.
Yeah, delighted. Joey was unlucky to pull up, and it was unfortunate for him. But I think anyone, there's plenty of competition here in Munster between myself, Tyler, Bill and Keats. Anyone would have stepped in today and done a job. And that's the beauty of the squad. We have great squad depth, and it's just everyone keeps pushing each other.
And that gives you a 2-point buffer at the top of Pool 2. I mean, that could be so important looking ahead to the rest of the pool stages. Something that you must be particularly happy with.
Yeah, we'll take a 2-point buffer this time of the pool stages any time. We're really happy with that overall, but it's going to be a tough ask next week going to Cass. We went down there last year and we ground out a draw. So we're going to be really, really tough next week. But we'll go again.
Okay, that was JJ Hanrahan there. And thanks to BT Sports for that clip. JJ, yeah, had a great game, stepped up to the mark yesterday after Joey Carberry unfortunately pulling out with a tight hamstring before the game. I thought it was a weird game. It was quite typical of a 1 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday where it took them probably 45 an hour to get into the game. It was a bit slow. The atmosphere, I was there, the atmosphere was a little bit subdued. It's a hard one to get yourself up for at 1 o'clock games, isn't it? I thought they were always a bit weird.
Yeah, Sunday, it was just Sunday games in general, I suppose.
Yeah.
It looked like it was going to kick on. I just kept waiting for it to burst into life, and then there was a few kind of scuffles and a couple of rows, and I sort of thought, right, that'll spark it, and it just never really got going, did it? It was just, it was pretty plain sailing for Munster.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
It was weird. Cast didn't look like they really wanted to win the game at all.
They just wanted to fight.
They were like just happy enough to be playing second fiddle. It was, you know, you'd never see a Munster team go out and play the way Cass played yesterday. I found it very strange. They didn't look like they had much fight in them. Munster played quite a kind of safe game in the first half. A lot of box kicks. Not really interested in playing much rugby in their own half.
Yeah.
Which was kind of disappointing because it ended up being a nice day. In the end, it was dry. It was a little bit windy, but... but then you think Cass just couldn't deal with any of the kicks. They must have dropped three or four of them in the first half. It was ridiculous. So you can understand why they do that. Was impressed with JJ. Thought he had a great game. It's like you've spoken about this before, where it can be weird when you're just called in last minute. And I think the last few weeks playing a bit for Munster has given him a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
The pressure's been off him. I think he's a... over the last few years, he's been kind of in the spotlight. Anytime he's played, people are kind of expecting him to light a pitch up. Whereas over the last few weeks, he's just been allowed to get on with his game. And I think he did the same yesterday. He scored, 20 points?
You think the arrival of Carberry has actually taken pressure off him?
Yeah, probably has.
It's strange how the impression of Hanrahan has sort of changed a little bit, mm-hmm. because even before he went to Northampton, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. He was seen as this really talented 10 with a bit of X factor and could take on the line himself, make breaks, make offloads, all this kind of stuff. And then Carberry arrives, and then all of a sudden Hanrahan seems like a more conservative option, which actually might be a nice tag to have as a 10, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's strange how that's changed, but whenever you think about him before, he was like scoring tries and assists and kind of getting, I suppose, he was the Joey Carberry of 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. But he still has it, you know, he's able to control the game. I think his kicking game was great yesterday.
What's going on with Blendahl? He came off the bench, didn't he?
Yeah, came on and played 10 or 12. I'm not sure where he went in. They were kind of, both of them were.
Yeah.
He's obviously on the side of the ruck.
He was obviously injured for a while there, but there was a period of time where he was unbelievably well thought of.
Yeah, I still very highly thought of. I think it just shows the competition that's there at the moment, as JJ mentioned there. There is a lot, you know, they've got a lot of options there. And
that's three quality tens.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And JJ's still got that step. He used it a few times yesterday. He's got a big left foot step where he catches defenders every game and scored a great try. Conor Murray's offload for that was absolutely class. And great to see Murray back and kind of slotting in seamlessly as well. Didn't put a foot wrong yesterday.
Yeah.
Good threat around the rocks. Kicking was great. You know, I think he just controlled the game between himself and JJ.
Yeah, Murray was dominant, but in a slightly different way than normal, I thought. Like, typically, it's a really structured, passes well, kicks well, almost kind of keeps a low profile. Mm-hmm. But at the weekend, he was really physical. He was getting up in their face, causing them to make mistakes, drop the ball, and then he was carrying hard, making offloads. It was kind of, I know he's obviously got that physical edge, but it was, I suppose, in a game when he kicked well, but it wasn't his big contribution to the game. It was just kind of, it was how up for it he was or something. He was almost leading the pack a little bit. Yeah. He was physically kind of getting, there's a bit of rough and tumble about him.
Yeah.
Especially after coming back from that mythical neck injury that we never actually got to the bottom of. But as you say, seamlessly straight in there.
Yeah. He used to be very relaxed, kind of happy-go-lucky player. Maybe it's age or experience that he's getting a little bit crankier.
He seemed fired up, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He was like that a couple of occasions last year. And it's great that he can kind of step up because, you know, they need leaders. And it was a good result, I think.
Clute's another one. I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, good game. He's between himself, Tighe and Peter, I think they had 8 turnovers in the game.
Yeah.
They're all just vicious on the ground now.
He was Clute, maybe this time last year or maybe earlier, it just looked like any breakdown that would land kind of around him, he always made an impact in it. He always either turned it over or slowed it down time and time, like 2 or 3 in a row he would be doing, and it just looked like for a period he'd sort of got away from that a little bit.
Yeah.
I just hadn't noticed it as much, but then at the weekend I thought it was back to the way he was. He's so physical, so good over the ball. There's just no shift in him.
Yeah.
I thought it looked like he's back to his best.
Yeah. And it's not going to be an easy game this weekend or next weekend. Back in Cass, they had a draw there last year. And I think it'll be different Cass team that'll probably show up. They're always different when they're at home, the French, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll be no easy feat. Rory Cockett, I think you mentioned earlier on before the show, you're impressed with his energy when he came on for Cast.
Yeah, he's feisty, isn't he?
Isn't he? Yeah.
He's causing rows.
Yeah.
And there were already a few rows before he arrived. But
yeah. It's like a little pit bull.
Yeah.
Looking, Exeter took a bit of a shocking defeat to Gloucester at home. That was a big result for Munster. And I think if they can get an away win this weekend, it'll surely should, you know, give them a home quarter final.
Yeah.
With the other two teams probably being out of it. I was at the game, as I said. I was standing in the terrace, the West Terrace. I had an unbelievable laugh. You forget sometimes how funny it can be to go to games and to just be around the supporters when they're cranky or hungover or a few pints in, and they're just shouting abuse at players. And the Munster fans are some of the funniest. Like, they were getting quite frustrated with how slow the game was yesterday, and it just got me thinking about heckling and stuff like that. And did you ever be, you know, find yourself being heckled from supporters? Would you ever have heard that? Taking notice?
Not specifically. I remember one occasion where I got complimented,
right,
by a small group of supporters.
What did they say?
It was 2014. It was whenever I had gone through a period of kind of fairly kind of mediocrity, not really playing that well, and then spent some time with Schmidt, did really well at Six Nations and played loads of rugby, and we won the Six Nations, and I felt like I came back to Ulster and I was kind of just felt I got a new like bit of energy.
Yeah.
And so they'd obviously picked up on this, and the chant that they were going with that night was, "You used to be shy, but now you're all right." It's
cool. Andrew Trimble.
Well, they didn't name me. I assumed it was me because I was standing on the touchline right beside them.
He didn't used to be shite, man. That's
yeah. So harsh. No, but well, also but I thought it was better than all right.
More
importantly,
that's hilarious.
So I thought that was like
kind of half heckled, half complimented.
It's like a compliment, but within reason. Don't get carried away. You're
compliment.
Just all right.
Yeah, good Irish compliment.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Do you think I'm all right? Yeah.
I had one when we played. I went on an Irish tour years ago to the US. I don't know if you were on this tour. We played America in San Francisco, and I was on the wing, and it was quite a slow game, and the crowd were right on top of you, like they were like there's only a few feet between the touchline and the supporters, and I was out my wing, and this guy, it was kind of like Happy Gilmore. Do you remember that guy? He follows Shooter McGavin around.
Yeah,
abuse.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. It was like that. I kept going, number 11, where's your purse? Where's your purse, you big pussy? I was like turning around looking at it. I was like, Stop doing that. But he just did it for the entire game, man.
He kept it up.
Yeah, he rattled me for the whole match. I was just like, ruined the whole experience for me.
No, they know how to heckle, because on another tour to the States, actually, we played USA in Houston, and then we went to Toronto and played Canada.
Yeah.
It was the Canadians. Mm-hmm. If there's any Canadian-American listeners, they'll be offended that I grouped them all together.
Merge them.
More or less the same thing. And I remember, so a lot of the Canadian players weren't fully professional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their setup was, whatever. So this Canadian supporter thought, you know what, this is a great angle to abuse these Irish guys. And then I heard at one stage this Canadian supporter shouting, "You Irish guys are a bunch of unemployed twats."
Unemployed. Yeah.
Do you mean fully professional? Because in that case, I agree with you.
Yeah. Twat.
Yeah.
God. Oh, man. Yeah, they do it different over there. I remember going to a baseball game over there, and there was just abuse being thrown left, right, and center. And it was like, that's what people do. It was like, as if they're, that's the only reason they go to a game, is to just shout abuse.
Yeah.
Whereas, God, I don't know. I prefer to have a laugh when I'm at a rugby match. That was my weekend. We had a few gigs as well, so I was kind of quite busy. We've got a few more coming up this weekend. We're in Cork, Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
Working hard, fingers to the bone.
Working hard, man. Yeah. So if anyone is around, again, I had a few people that came up to us at gigs over the weekend saying they really liked this show.
Uh-huh.
A few shout outs they asked. One guy called Dara, who delivered a baby about 45 minutes before coming to our gig.
Wow.
In a house. He was on his way to our gig, and he's a paramedic, and he got called to go to a house, and he ended up delivering a baby. Wow. And he still had like juice on his jeans.
Juice.
I don't know what was it, baby juice, or I don't know.
Placenta juice?
Yeah. I was like, did you wash your hands? He's like, no, I didn't even wash my hands. It was mad. Yeah. He's like front row of our gig. So I said I'd give him a shout out.
Yeah, he deserves a shout out.
He does. I hope he's like washed his hands at this point.
You should probably give a shout out to the lady who had the baby.
The baby. I can't remember. It was a baby boy.
Okay.
I think they should probably call him Dara. Uh-huh. That's fair enough. So congratulations to
or Baz
couple.
Or Andrew.
Yeah. Andrew. So it was great. It's great to meet some people that are enjoying the show. So thank you very much.
No doubt Baz would be his first name. Andrew would be his middle name.
Yes. That's kind of the way it is.
Typical, isn't it?
That's the way it is. Sorry, man. Yeah, so keep those requests coming in or any messages you have. As we said before, we'll read and say almost anything. You'd agree.
Absolutely. The more unorthodox, the better.
Yeah.
We're big fans of... We don't want to hear just, who's the best player you've ever played against? We don't want to hear that.
Yeah. I couldn't even tell you. You were the best player I've ever played.
You were, by. Okay. Let's get that one out of the way.
Yeah.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
Okay, we've just had clarification, thanks to Ian, on the Die Hard 2 point. Mm. I'll give you a slight win.
I'm feeling pretty smug.
Yeah, it's called Die Hard 2, and there's a little line underneath it that says, Die Harder.
What is the sequel to Terminator? What's that movie called?
Terminator 2.
Judgment Day.
Yeah, but no one ever calls it Judgment Day.
What's the sequel to Home Alone called?
Lost in New York.
Yeah.
Home Alone 2.
I was like all ready to... fine.
Home Alone... But you only ever call it Home Alone 2.
Yeah, it's because we've all got places to be. Like, Home Alone 2, come on. Next.
No. Okay.
Die Harder, which then...
I think it was just telling you what's happening in the film. I don't think actually the
people are dying harder. It's like a warning. Yeah, for parents.
Yeah,
just if your kid's watching this, you know there's going to be people dying harder, don't you? Which makes you wonder, why was Die Hard 3 not called Die Hardest?
What was that one called?
It was called With a Vengeance.
Oh yeah,
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
See, now that is what that one was called. That wasn't called Die Hard 3. That one's called Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah.
Whereas Die Hard 2 is called Die Hard 2.
Fine, okay, yeah.
I think Die Hard with a Vengeance was my favorite.
Yeah.
Mm.
Danny Glover?
No, Samuel L. Jackson.
Sorry. Thinking Lethal Weapon.
You were. It's my last day on the job. God. My 50s, I'm too old for this shit. Yeah. No, it was... and what was the bad guy's name? He was also in Lion King, Scar.
Jeremy
Lethal
Irons. Weapon?
Jeremy Irons. Oh, yeah, he was good. He was like a evil Russian or something like that.
All Russians are evil.
Standard, like Hans Gruber. Yeah, so okay, I'll give you a little win there. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'll buy you a pint on our Christmas party.
Mm-hmm. When is that, by the way? We need to get our finger out.
Yeah, I'd say...
It's a table for two, though, to be fair.
It's an open invitation, right?
Yeah.
We just book a whole restaurant, hopefully. I think we should have a themed one as well, like a Christmas-themed one.
Fancy dress?
Maybe, yeah. We once did one for Monster. We were... quite good at having Christmas parties back in the day. It was me and Fla's job to organise them, and it was probably the only thing that I was worthy of taking that responsibility, was to organise Christmas parties. So they gave us a good bit of cash. They gave us a grand to buy costumes and stuff like that. So we wanted to do a themed one. So we said we'd have a wedding. So we had a wedding in Kilkenny, and we decided to marry off Jim Williams and Tony McGann, who were our two Australian coaches at the time. So we were trying to find a wedding dress for Tony McGann.
He was the bride.
Because he was the smaller one, we were like. But the cheapest wedding dress we could find was size 26. It was like £100. So it was a big wedding dress. So we decided that Jim would be the bride. So like most Irish weddings, we wanted it to be quite typical. So we needed bridesmaids and groomsmen and a priest and altar boys and clergy. And do you ever like go to mass and, you know, there's always a guy that kind of works in the church who's like not a priest. He's just kind of like
Paul Bearer?
No. Like a guy that just kind of wanders around in the on the counter or the altar, whatever.
The counter.
That thing. Through the guy that's always in the church. He's not a priest. There's always one.
Like a caretaker.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're always like big, so we wanted even one of them.
a church caretaker?
Yes, we had John Hayes as the church caretaker. Got him like a pair of chapless leather pants for some reason.
Classic caretaker.
Yeah. Frankie Sheehan was the bishop. We had Kieran Lewis and Kieran O'Boyle as two altar boys. So we got altar boy outfits from school in Limerick that I probably shouldn't name. We, Paul O'Connell and Quinny were the bridesmaids.
Uh-huh.
So my sister lended them two of her dresses.
Probably
not that she would be of their size. She's slim, tall girl, but they were stretchy. She would have so, and they were great because they were such good bridesmaids. Because, like, you know, the way bridesmaids, you'll always have one kind of gamey enough bridesmaid, like
which one was that? Was that O'Connell?
Quinny, the dodgy tattoo and out smoking fags all night. Yeah, that kind of bridesmaid. And then O'Connell was more the serious, you know,
a classy bridesmaid.
Yeah, but very organized, and you know, like
the maid of honor.
The maid of honor, yeah. Uh-huh. So he was. We got them lipstick and wigs and stuff, and Keith Earls and Mossy Lawler were the two groomsmen who were kind of, we had them kind of dressed as like bogans, is it? One of those kind of rough kind of Aussies, and it was great.
Did you get a role?
No, I was just dressing them all up in the back.
So you were just calling the shots.
Yeah, Frankie Sheehan kind of took over as the bishop.
Was there a court session or did it?
No, we just had like a proper wedding.
Was anybody at any stage going, when's this gonna, you know, where's the joke?
Yeah,
coming here.
That's what I'm actually starting to realize now, that there is no punchline to the story. Just a wedding.
So they got married and lived happily ever after.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it was gorgeous, and Jimmy looked absolutely beautiful.
I'm sure.
Yeah, 6'5" Aussie man with a wedding dress on. We couldn't even zip it up. His back was so big. We just had to get him an extra long veil.
To cover the, yeah.
Yeah, his hairy back. But yeah, if anyone has any suggestions for our wedding or our Christmas party, we'd love to hear it.
So obviously we're fairly open-minded.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying?
Absolutely, we'll do anything.
Any suggestions? Anybody else wants to attend as well? Because at the minute it's a party for two.
Yeah.
Be great to have.
And Pat, don't forget Pat.
Sorry, Pat.
But yeah, look, we got to give some love to Connacht again. That's four wins in a row for them. Big win for them against Perpignan at the weekend. They're going really well.
They're flying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the game now, but it sounded like it was blistery and blustery conditions in a
classic.
Yeah,
sports ground.
Yeah. Such a hard place to go.
Yeah.
My God.
It'd been nicer in Perpignan, you would imagine.
Yeah.
Get to see a bit of rugby played.
Yeah. That, you know, was there ever a harder place to go on like a New Year's Eve or St. Stephen's Day or like the 28th of December when you have to go down to the sports grounds?
Oh, that's a Christmas ruiner, isn't it?
It is. Can't enjoy your Christmas day. No. It's like hailstones and the wind battering in your face. That's all you can think of.
This is my first Christmas that won't be ruined actually by
that's
rugby.
Right. Yeah.
Quite looking forward to just sitting around watching
to worry about
Die Hard 2, Die Harder, stuff in my face. Kindergarten Cop, you know.
Oh, classic.
Robin Hood. Classic, like Christmas themed movies, but just movies that tend to be shown at Christmas.
Yeah. I haven't seen Kindergarten Cop in years.
Oh. Yeah. What a show.
Yeah.
One of my all time favourites.
Yeah.
Top five.
Okay. Who's in that again?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh yeah. I'm a cop, you idiot.
Yeah.
It's not a tumor. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
You were like just about to say it's a tumor. The complete opposite of what the one-liner is.
Is it a tumor?
It's not a tumor. Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah, I was thinking of something completely different. That was a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah. More rugby. Simon Zeebo, our very own Lando Carizian had another huge game for Racing 92. 120 metres made of 14 carries. Two clean line breaks, four defenders beaten, one try. Pretty bonkers game again in Racing. That place is just such a circus. 36-26. And again, Nigel Owens reffing. Do you think that's any coincidence that it was a bonkers game?
Yeah, he loves it, doesn't he?
Doesn't he?
Just loves, like, just let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. No point in refereeing that.
Won't be entertaining.
Yeah. Actually, probably not ideal for Ulster. Leicester getting the losing bonus point. Or either of them getting losing bonus points, actually. Yeah. But, yeah, decent game.
Yeah.
A lot of rugby played.
Yeah, Zeebs is loving his rugby over there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's great to watch.
Suits him so well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It's like the perfect decision for him to go and play a place like that. And he seems to be loving life. Andy Farrell, on another point, has been favourited to be the Lions head coach in 2021. Obviously, that's not confirmed, but that's just rumour.
He's
the favourite, yeah. Okay. What do you think of that?
He's obviously got... I suppose Gatlin got, three times in a row?
Yes.
And Farrell was there.
Two times in a row.
Farrell was there. Farrell was definitely there the last one. I think there seems to be a thing with the Lions where it's important not just to be a good coach or be able to contribute in rugby, but it seems like it's quite valuable to be able to contribute to the whole ethos of the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like, again, even from chatting to like Tommy and lads like that who've been there and had a bit of exposure to it on a couple of tours, it seems like that kind of holistic approach, this is the Lions, this is special, you have to appreciate everything that goes with it, not just execute on the pitch.
Yeah,
and I think Farrell having had that experience and being a good lad and being pretty laid back as well, I think that would be a decent fit. This is the first time I've heard this, actually. I didn't realise that.
Yeah,
that he was kind of
being mentioned. Being not early doors to be talking like that, but
Would Joe come out of retirement for Lions?
That's what was my next question was going to be. Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah.
That'd be perfect for Joe Schmidt, wouldn't it? If he's kind of looking at, you know, having a less hectic life, I suppose, that goes with being the head coach of an international team.
Yeah,
it would be a shame to see him step away from rugby completely because he's obviously so good.
But he's so thorough. Yeah. That's probably the issue, I think, where if he wanted to step away, and if the reason why he's moving away from rugby is to kind of get away from the stress or spend time with family, then that this will completely undo that decision. Because, and even if, as you say, it's a slightly less grueling kind of schedule, it's not for him, because he I don't think he ever does anything in half measures.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be really thorough, really detailed, and he'll probably just be as busy as he would have been.
Do you reckon? Yeah,
I don't know. I would have thought so. Just, he's not someone who just saunters
disappear for 3 years and show up the year of a Lions.
Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't. He's not someone who does something half-hearted. If he does it, he does it full on and does it really well, and then that would just kind of defeat the point of. I don't know.
Yeah,
don't know. That's
It's
kind of speculating, but who knows?
Mm-hmm. The rugby paper reported that Bath want Stuart Lancaster in next season. Should Ireland tie him up as part of Andy Farrell's coaching team? I think that's a point that Pat threw our way here.
Yeah,
That's a good point. I think Leinster obviously benefiting massively from his experience at the moment. So I don't think they'd be letting him go anytime soon, even if it was to Ireland.
Yeah, I know. I wonder. If he was going to be in the mix for Ireland with Andy Farrell, you would imagine there might have been chat about it. There's been speculation about it, but when they announced Farrell, you would have thought they would have announced that as well, maybe, or I don't know. I think by the sounds of things, I read a little bit about this, like about Lancaster, and by the sounds of things, he feels like a little bit indebted, I suppose, to Leinster. Feels very loyal to Leinster because the way his the impression of Lancaster is now, he's this amazing coach who's brought unbelievable value to Leinster and the way they train and the way they perform.
Mm-hmm.
But that probably wasn't the impression before. After the World Cup, his brand would have been a little bit like damaged goods, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Ireland would have been taking him, you know, or Leinster would have been taking a chance on him. And I think by the sounds of things, Lancaster has quite a lot of integrity and feels like... them putting trust in him, he wants to kind of repay that Yeah. That's the impression that some people are kind of getting, that he feels like there's a lot of loyalty there, and he wants to repay that.
Yeah.
They took a chance on him, and he wants to continue being loyal to them, I suppose.
Yeah, which is, sure, he's enjoying it. God, I mean, what a team to be working with at the moment. Yeah. Who else would you want to be working with week in, week out, and the quality of players that are coming through? But yeah,
and it would be a strange dynamic then if he did go to Ireland, because then he'd be, I don't know if he'd be considered like second in command or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to find someone. Obviously, someone's going to have to replace Farrell when he moves up to the head man. So I don't know when they're going to announce anything like that. Obviously, the Six Nations is only around the corner, so they'll probably just get through that before making any big announcements after the World Cup. But
if they were in a position to announce it, you would have thought.
Yeah.
Because that would have been the right timing for it.
Exactly.
Because then it's all a big story, and then it gradually goes away, and then you can just talk about the Six Nations.
Mm. So, speaking of Six Nations, Guinness have come in as head sponsors of the Six Nations, our uh-huh. friends at Guinness.
Uh-huh.
That's great for us, really, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're big fans of us.
Yeah.
They're really pleased with how successful we've been.
Yeah, sure. Look, they're just involved with all the top, you know, the best competitions in the game, the best shows in the game. Uh-huh. You know, it's just clear.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to the World Cup.
We did ask everyone to vote on the Guinness Made of More Player of the Weekend. The nominees were Will Addison, Ian Henderson, James Ryan, Chris Clote. And we have decided that after last week's show, if anyone was listening, I told a story about holding Paul O'Connell's teeth once in a fight. And we are not a fight, an argument on the bus, but we have decided that from now on, our prize for the Guinness Made of More Player of the Week is going to be Paul O'Connell's teeth. So we will send each winner a week to hold his teeth for the week. So this week, the winner is, thanks to your votes, James Ryan. 37% James Ryan. Paulie's teeth are coming your way. They'll be in the post tomorrow. So we look forward to seeing them in your hand or in your mouth.
But they're going to be like, it's not just going to be the teeth, surely. We're going to mount it, you know, turn it into a trophy. I would have thought.
I'd like if they could put them in, maybe if they can put them in their mouth as well.
Yeah, with like the trophy bit hanging out.
Yeah, here. Okay, yeah. Yeah, like you hold it up. Yeah.
James, listen, this is up for grabs. All this stuff's up for grabs.
Yeah, we're open just to feedback.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And it's probably likely you're going to win this a number of times. Let's come up with something, just stick with it, yeah?
Yeah. okay, we did also ask hashtag AskHOR, so send in your questions for us on Twitter, and we got a good few back last night. Simon Kelly, again, we asked for random questions. This is pretty random. I'd like to ask Barry, am I right, Dara Graham, who is a member of Hermitage Green, is married to Zeebo's sister? Question mark. He was a decent sprinter, and I thought I saw him in October, Dublin Airport, in an Iron Maiden t-shirt. Yes, that's correct. Dara is drummer in our band, and he is married to Simon's sister, Jessica, who is also a sprinter. The two of them were... Dara was actually a 200-meter national champion.
Wow.
Jessica was an incredible hurdler as well. So that's where Simon gets a lot of his speed. It's in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if Dara was in an Iron Maiden t-shirt. I don't think he's a huge Iron Maiden fan. I think that's my brother you're thinking about. He's also in the band. Big Iron Maiden fan. Now, that's a pretty random question. Rugby-related one, this for you, Andrew. Ulster's defence looked worlds apart from previous weeks on Friday night. As ex-players, were you able to see anything different, or was it a bigger effort?
I thought they tended to get their width a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
By all accounts, Jared Payne, like you hear defence coaches talking about line speed, but Jared apparently is big... message that he delivers is width, because if you haven't got the width, then it's not a good idea to go up hard, because you get picked off. Whereas you can only go up hard and get that line speed if you have the width, and it looked like something they were working on.
Yeah.
They whenever they made changes, you could see an injection of energy. In around 70 minutes, Rob Herring came off. Tom O'Toole, sorry, Rob Herring came on, Tom O'Toole came on. The two of them brought loads of energy. And it just looked like they, as the kind of Scarlets went through phases, as that play went on, Ulster seemed to get bigger and kind of just grow and just be more comfortable. And it looked like they were feeding off each other quite a bit. They were bringing a bit of line speed, not as much line speed as Scarlets were bringing. I think Ulster were just a little bit more streetwise about it.
Just a bit more controlled.
I think so, yeah. They were going up to the ball and then wait for the pass and then accelerate again, whereas Scarlets were getting past the ball. And that's high risk, high reward, because you're going to get a couple, you might pluck off a couple of intercepts, but you also could get done. Someone gets his nose through, gets an offload.
For Addison, I had a couple of times, obviously, a few of his offloads and a few of his breaks.
Whenever you come up that hard, it's very easy to get stepped or get done, or you're out on a limb a little bit. It's a high risk defence, and I thought Scarlett's kind of just, to be fair, it's very effective at times, but Ulster were a little bit more conservative with theirs, a little bit more streetwise, I thought. And I thought that made a big difference in the end.
Yeah.
Granted, Scarlett scored at the end to make the last kind of couple of minutes pretty nervous, but still, it just looked like Ulster were in control for long periods in defense.
Yeah, it's nice to have to be able to switch into that. You know, I always found it strange when a team would try and lay their stall out at the start of the season as a way, there's only one way they're going to defend. Whereas if you can approach different games at different, you know, line speeds or approach an attack or an offense, sorry. I think that's a very strong ability to have in a team's armor. Munster have been brilliant at getting really fast off the line over the last few months, and even the weekend I think they were a little bit more controlled. Their kick chase was very much red wall across the pitch. I think a lot of Ulster players do compliment Jared Payne and his approach to defence as well. So he's obviously making a big impact there.
Whenever they change it up, it kind of catches attacks out a little bit sometimes. Cardiff did it last week against Ulster, actually, off scrum. They kind of look quite nonchalant in their backs defence. They're kind of, it looks like they're not quite ready, but the ball goes in and then they wait a second and then they all bounce out and they're ready to come up hard, and it catches teams out, you know. Or the other way around, if you think they're coming hard and you execute a play, you pull it back further, expecting to get more line speed, and then they don't come, or they maybe come hard for the first couple of meters and then they drift off. It's a really nice way of kind of catching teams out or just negating all the plan, all the research they've done, video analysis they've done on the team, and then it's just completely wasted. And it's, I think Ulster kind of just changed it up a little bit, and it's fairly effective.
Okay, that's enough rugby talk. You lost me. the most important question.
Where were we? Die Hard 2.
Fred Flunk, is that actually his name? Ask, if ghosts can walk through walls, why don't they fall through floors? Now, Andrew.
Well, first of all, Fred Flunk, that's not your real name.
You're a fraud, Fred Flunk. Show yourself. I thought about this before. Have you seen Ghost, the film?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just thinking about there, yeah.
Like, he can't, like, push the penny and stuff like that, and he can walk through walls, but then he just sits down on a seat.
Yeah.
And he's sitting down.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's like one of those films that you watch it, but you think it's unbelievable, and when you watch it years later, you're like, you see some holes in it.
Yeah.
That was one, so.
Yeah, and, well, I find that a bit creepy, the scene where Patrick Swayze takes Whoopi Goldberg's body and then gets into it with Demi Moore.
It was so weird,
wasn't it?
I remember even as a kid going,
yeah. Is that still Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah, maybe that should be our Christmas party, man. We just go watch all these kind of poor films. Also, it's in back to Star Wars. Do you know when something like a spaceship was shot in Star Wars, it would crash, like a plane would crash, like it would fall down.
Yeah.
And like, it should just float, surely, if in space.
Yeah.
That always struck a chord at me as well.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of question we're after, lads.
Nice. Keep, Flunk.
Yeah, good work. So we'll leave it there. That was a nice way to wrap things up.
Great finish.
Yeah.
Solid finish.
Absolutely. So thank you everybody for your comments, questions, for listening, for watching us on YouTube. If you're enjoying the show, please remember to subscribe and leave us a rating or a comment. Big thank you to everyone that was involved in the show again. Big thank you to you, Trimby. You're ever present at this point. It's great. You're doing a great job. Very fond of you.
Party on, Baz.
Party on, Trimby. This has been Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe Together with Guinness. See you next week.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe Together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.